form and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Our guest today is Kumar Arora, CEO of AuroraDex, right?
Yep.
How many things do you do anyway?
I can't even count myself.
I know. I'm just like looking at all this stuff. Basically, what do you do?
I'm a serial entrepreneur and an investor. That's the easiest way to say it.
Thanks for joining us. That was but you're involved in a lot of stuff. You have was that a decision you made when you became an entrepreneur to put your hands in everything?
For me, I always just wondered what all can someone do? And I've had so many passionate things growing up that I wanted to turn into businesses. So for me, I feel like I just kind of took all my hobbies and turned them into jobs in some way. And I think that's part of how I became an entrepreneur.
Right. Think you always wanted to be an entrepreneur?
To be honest, I think growing up, we never really heard the word entrepreneur at all in school, in education. It wasn't until college I started to hear the term more often. We started to see the Steve Jobs, the Zuckerbergs come out of nowhere. And at that moment, right after college, I was like, you know what? I am an entrepreneur. I've always been one.
Yeah, what is this entrepreneur?
Yeah, thing? It's like, yeah. Where was the class in high school for entrepreneurship? There wasn't one at the time. So for me, I didn't know that, but I had to go through the struggle of the recession and not having a job to eventually realize I am a byproduct of, you know, the economy in some
ways. Well, and you got a brain. But
yeah, that too.
I think what people used to go to college for is to get the 9-to-5 job, the 2-week vacation, you know, a pension when you get out. And from this chair, I see a lot more people who either dropped out of college, became an entrepreneur, and failed or succeeded at that. You know, it's good. What's the main thing you do?
Right now, I'm working on a company called Rogue Eyewear. Mm-hmm. It's a company that I started in 2014, and we've developed glasses out of unique materials like leather, stone, denim, at a really competitive price point. And it started right here in Cleveland for me, which is great because it's my hometown. And I wanted to, in a way, kind of disrupt the industry and start things over again. And that's why
I called it. So you make the frames out of leather.
Yeah. So that's one of the materials we make with our company.
Well, how'd you get that idea?
You know, I was sitting on a plane, I went to a conference, and I just kept seeing the same old glasses over and over again. And I was wondering, why isn't anyone making glass out of unique materials and just doing something unique and different? Mm-hmm. And I looked into it, and really no one was doing something of that nature, because with the production volume and the units that you have to have, it has to kind of stay the same. And it's been like that for about 34 years. So I just decided I want to literally go rogue and start something new. And right out of the gates, we came out with wood, denim, leather, and a lot of unique materials. And now we're dropping stone later this month.
Can you invent something that takes scratches off glasses?
I did that too already.
Okay, well, we'll be talking after.
Yeah.
So what interests you the most out of all these things?
Out of all my ventures right now, the one company that I'm absolutely in love with right now is a company I invested into on Cleveland Hustles on CNBC. I was an investor on that show. And it's a company called Old City Soda. And these guys, similar to Rogue, have a very similar mentality where they've created a handcrafted soda, completely organic, using no artificial colors or sugars or anything like that. And it's manufactured right in Cleveland. And to me, to see what they're doing, disrupting their own industry, just like I was, and as well, making something so radically different, that just excites me.
And LeBron James is involved in that?
Yeah, and LeBron was the executive producer to that show.
He's blown up. He's doing a lot of TV shows.
Yeah. His whole team has been so supportive of my businesses and the work that we've done. And we've actually brought in nearly $1 million into the neighborhood where we invested for all the businesses.
All right. I want to get to all that in the next segment. Are there any special apps that you use, or what sort of social media do you use in your business?
On just everyday use?
For your business.
For social media, I always go with Sprout Social. I think that's a great way to manage all of your different outlets that you have. As far as project management with social, I use Moxtra, I use DropTask. A lot of great software is out there now to just kind of ease the process and kind of have this collaborative effort.
Because I don't think a lot of entrepreneurs could get along with just Google and Snapchat.
Oh, we've gone so far now from, you know, the basic search and the basic post. Now it's to the point where you have so many different outlets. That's almost like having so many different channels. How do you cover everybody? So now there's so many great tools out there to kind of cover your bases in some way, and also ease the time, because social media shouldn't be
productivity.
You know, it shouldn't be the full time of your business.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Kumar Arora is our guest. Arora Dex, what does that mean?
Arora Dex is my parent company. Okay. So I wanted to create an index for all my companies. So I kind of came up with the coin term Arora Dex.
I like it. How many companies do you have?
I'm at number 7 now.
Okay. And how do you keep track of all of them?
Good managerial team and
do they all make money? Entities.
Yeah, all of them, almost.
Oh, I think
not yet. I mean, of course, you know, with investing. So
right.
You have to kind of wait it out. So not all are as profitable as others, but right. It's just a waiting game and you got to have the hustle.
The pause made me wonder, but I know you're tremendously successful. Do you have any tricks? We were just talking about being productive. Are there any tricks about being more productive than the next guy?
Productivity is something that comes from within. So for me, I think that we all have our own ways of being productive. In my case, you know, getting up early, always having a strong duties list of what needs to get done. And in my case, I've got multiple lists because I've got multiple businesses.
Right.
But kind of staying on task and knowing what comes first, order of priority is just as important as being productive too.
Yeah, I'm big into making those lists and journaling at night because, you know, you're thinking of something like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to find this glasses scratch thing that you have. I got to call you tomorrow to find out where to get it. And I'll have something else. But then I get up and I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, and things get in the way too at the same time. So staying organized.
Like my eyesight.
Staying organized really is like the one thing one could do before they go to bed, in your case, or even just getting up in the morning, just figuring out what's the most important things I have to accomplish. Try to think about short-term gains, not long-term plans, and it might also help you be productive too.
Do you have any entrepreneurs that you favor?
Entrepreneurs that I favor, as in their...
Just like a mentor?
Just like a generic type of entrepreneur?
Steve Jobs, maybe.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Elon Musk, for me, has been such an inspiration because while I have certain businesses that are more fashion-oriented, I've always thought about the future and where we're going. And I hope one day to aspire to be something like that, where I can start to make investments in, you know, science, health, biotech, in different places.
And pardon me, Elon, but his failures are interesting.
Yeah, of course. And I think the failures make an entrepreneur too. And having those battle scars, as I call it, really define where you're going to go next.
He's like Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan missed so many shots at the end of the game. The people only remember the good ones. They never remember all the ones that he missed.
Oh, of course. You got to pick yourself back up.
Yeah.
You know, well, especially when
he always said the minute he would miss a shot, the minute he turned around, he had a good shot in his head that he'd made one day.
Mm-hmm.
So he always goes back with confidence. So you wake up early, get going. How many people work for you?
I'm at 42 now.
All over the world or just here?
All over the world.
Right.
Yeah.
And how's that working out for you?
It's not easy. But you know, if you have a good managerial team overall, and you have, you know, different divisions, it does get a little manageable.
What's the farthest country?
India, yeah. Actually. Yeah. And that's, you know, where my parents are from.
Right. How much did your parents, have to say in how you got in this chair?
My parents have done so much for me. I mean, they never thought that I'd be an entrepreneur, but little do they know, they've sort of guided me in that direction.
Right.
My mom was an artist. Growing up, so I, you know, I get involved with art, but my dad was a scientist. So for me, I got the best of both worlds, being in a lab.
Design
and science. And that's actually everything that I do today, ironically. So they've done a lot for me. And my father's also a businessman too. So I got to see what it's like to leave a corporate job in your mid-50s and start your own business. So I got to get involved very early on.
What's your definition of success?
My definition of success.
It changes with generations.
Yes, it does change. But I think one is in regards to an entrepreneur, if you can create a business that can at least pay yourself at some point, or you can at least build something that can sustain your own living, I think that's success to me. I don't think anything past that. I think anything past that is much, much bigger.
Right.
But to me, I think that's a safe
answer for success.
I always
ask people, are you paying your rent with this?
Right, exactly. You know, if you can create something that can be a living for you, I think that's success. And anything more is just, you know, much bigger than that.
Well, it's not greed, right?
I don't think so.
It's just ambition.
Yeah.
It's ambition. Mm-hmm. So how do you balance your work and your life?
I think it's become a blend of both. You know, with work and life, I think that for an entrepreneur, it's hard to kind of separate the two. And in my case, it is a little bit of both. My friends are my colleagues. My social outings happen to be some of my work related. So I think for an entrepreneur, if you can find a way to blend the two, then you're onto something. But if you have to separate them, whether, you know, if you have a family and then you have a work life.
Which most people do.
Most people do. I'm lucky in a sense to be able to blend the two. But the separation for me is tough because I am my work.
Right.
My work are my children in some ways.
I am my work.
Yeah.
It's a good pin. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Back in a minute.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE. You should.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Kumar Arora is our guest, and a good one. Lots of companies, lots of them. How do you keep track? I mean, we talked about it earlier, but
you know, it's one of those things with, you know,
lots of successful companies.
It's one of those things where you have a lot of passions in different places. And I talk about this where I tell people it's not about what you want to do when you grow up. It's what all can you be while you're growing up. Mm-hmm. So for me, all my businesses have become extended hobbies in some way, whether it's fashion or tech or science. These are things that I grew up with enjoying so much. Now I've been able to be blessed to turn them into businesses.
How'd you get involved in glasses?
It's a long story. I actually pretty much grew up literally with glasses. And my dad was a scientist and he was doing a lot of coatings on lenses. And that's actually the start. When I was 6-7 years old, I would see him working on these different ideas. I just didn't know that this could eventually become a business of some sorts. From there, it extended to me designing my own sunglasses and my own frames now. So it's been a lifelong journey so far in some ways.
And tell you, you've got to design something that actually works. There are so many people who get that glaze on the glasses. It's uncleanable. It scratches, and you can never see through it.
And you know, that's exactly where our company comes in.
And it doesn't matter how much you pay for it.
Right. And, you know, with what's called hydrophobic anti-water, oleophobic anti-oil, we do a lot of different coatings that are sold now at Costco, Walmart, and a lot of big businesses that you see every day.
What's your favorite business?
That I own?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's probably have to be Old City Soda. Mm-hmm. It's a company I invested into on the show Cleveland Hustles on CNBC. And I love the guys because of what they've created with handcrafted soda using no artificial sugars, no artificial flavors. And they're doing something different for the craft soda market in general. We don't see businesses like this manufacturing right in their hometown in Cleveland. At the same time, trying to take on the big dogs like Pepsi and, you know, Mountain Dew.
Well, there's something romantic about making your own soda, right?
And it's, you know,
soda fountain is really still kind of a big deal.
Well, the romantic part of it is great, but at the same time, it's being the underdog. In this case, these guys are trying to take on such a large industry and kind of re-educate them to say, you know, you can make soda that's high end, that's great for alcohol, that's great for your body in some ways. That's much better than, you know, what we have today.
And then how long before Coke or Pepsi buys them?
Oh, well, we'll see if we give up, but I don't know. It's one of those things where, you know, we really believe in the product and we want to get it out there. So if Coke and Pepsi and whatnot believe in our business and see what we're trying to do and how it's different, that's great. But I don't know if we're up for sale.
Did you have to raise a lot of money for all this?
For that specific business?
No, for all of them.
When I first started out, I actually was somewhat lucky because I had two exits of my own. So for me, I've been able to fund my own projects. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Old City Soda, I invested $200,000 on the show to help build them their business and a bar on the show. Mm-hmm. But for me, I've been lucky enough to be able to invest in my own projects. And I actually encourage a lot of entrepreneurs to say that you don't have to look for funding. I think that's something you should.
Everybody says that's the worst part of it, is the initial.
I mean, of course, it's an annoying part of your business to have to go pitch to investors. I think that a lot of businesses these days, especially, you know, entrepreneurs that are just starting out that want to do something more easy to start. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find funding from within. If you can start saving yourself, if you can ask your family and friends, there's more traditional routes to take to start a small business of sorts than to have to go for, you know, VC firms.
And as investors get younger, I would think it gets easier to explain projects to them.
Right.
The old school guys are going to go, that's not going to work.
I mean, with this day and age, the idea of venture capitalists, angel investors is such a common term now that it is easier to find funding.
What's the corporate culture around your company?
It's run like a startup, mm-hmm. but the managerial team is much more corporate. So I do believe in the idea of, you know, staying passionate, staying creative, but you know, you always have to have a leash in some ways to make sure things get done on deadlines.
And do you know all your employees?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not going to ask a name.
I do.
But you do.
So it's a family of some sort.
Right.
You know, I think that it's one of those things where you have to have not only a guided touch to have that relationship, mm-hmm. but you also have to be able to lead them the right way. So you have to get to know them too.
So how do you find talent that will fit into your business or your lifestyle?
With all of my investments, I always look to see which weaknesses I have, mm-hmm. and I have to be willing to admit them. And for any entrepreneur, you have to be able to analyze your own strengths and weaknesses and see who do I hire to replace that part of me. So for me, it's not just me now. Now it's a company and I have to look at an extended family and see what parts are we missing and who can fill that void in.
Yeah.
So I think for any entrepreneur that's in the hiring process, just look for your weaknesses and be willing to admit them to your entire team and then find someone to fill that void.
And what brain power do I need?
Right, exactly.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. He's Kumar Arora, who has 8 businesses, right?
Seven.
You're working on a new one, though, right?
Yeah.
But you can't talk about it.
Can't talk about that just yet. I'll be back next time.
All right. So you technically have 8. I don't like to be wrong.
Sure.
Okay. what's in the fire? I mean, what keeps you fired up?
Discovery. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about Elon Musk earlier, and for me, I love to know what's on the horizon, what's coming up next for me. So the idea of discovery and looking to something new is so inspiring for myself. And today I might be working on sunglasses. Tomorrow might be, something in tech. So for me, knowing that I can create something that's never been done before, knowing that I can work on something that's never been seen before is so important to me. And I think that's part of, you know, my role. And
that's
my
challenge,
future.
Too.
Yeah, my future as an entrepreneur.
Something that's never been seen before.
Yeah.
Can you name that product? Because nobody's seen it.
I mean, right now I've developed stone sunglasses.
Right.
It's never been commercially available and we're launching it on Kickstarter. It's now available. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen stone before, but it's never been done at a competitive price point. It's never been available commercially. So I've solved that problem. And now here we are, you know, with a product that's not only handcrafted and unique, but the bigger companies out there have never done this before.
Right.
And to me, that's a step forward.
Does Kickstarter work?
I'll find out. You know, I think that it's my first time taking a crowdfunding approach for my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing this specifically with one product. And so far, so good. I mean, with the growth of the internet and the accessibility of being able to become an entrepreneur because of the internet, I think has made crowdfunding so easy because not only can you invest or back an idea, but you can get involved, you can participate, you can engage with your consumer and your business. So I think that crowdfunding is definitely the next direction for a lot of people looking for funding.
So if somebody out there wants to be an entrepreneur, what do you suggest for them?
In regards to Kickstarter or in general?
Well, it could be Kickstarter.
With Kickstarter, you know, just think about your market. Think about the audience. You know, they want to see something that's radically new, radically different. They want to become early adopters. People on Kickstarter or Indiegogo or any crowdfunding platform are the type of people that want to support something that's so radically new. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the formula and that's the first seed needed in order to have a successful Kickstarter.
And how hard is it to find people who want to invest in something radically new?
I think in this day and age, it's actually a lot easier than what you think.
Yeah, the game changer.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of people are more acceptable to independent brands or new companies now. Whereas, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you wanted to work for some corporate company. Now people are saying, you know what? I can do things different. I can drive an electric car. I can wear something that's not found in a mall. And I think that's kind of become our new mentality. And it's a great thing for business. It's a great thing for entrepreneurs. It's a great thing for our economy as well.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Back in a minute.
This report is brought to you by Esurance. Natural disaster season is upon us. June brings the start of hurricane season, and severe storms this spring have already been unusually intense, with over 500 reports of tornadoes. Even if you don't think you're in an area prone to a threat, it's important to be prepared for extreme weather that could strike at any time. Meteorologist Bonnie Schneider shares tips to help you prepare for Mother Nature's worst.
Get together your basic disaster supplies, including a 3-day supply of non-perishable food and water, photocopies of your credit cards and ID, first aid kit, flashlight, a radio, and batteries. It's important to make sure your insurance is up to date and that you are properly protected. Esurance helps simplify insurance with Coverage Counselor, an online tool that helps you better understand and select coverages that may be right for you. It's just another way Esurance is making insurance surprisingly painless.
Esurance is not available in all states. For more information, visit www.esurance.com.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining me right now is my dear friend and mentor, Mr. John Asaroff.
Mr. Mark Lack.
The CEO of NeuroGym. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Great to be on.
So tell us about NeuroGym. It's a company that I've benefited from. I've used your products and services, but tell us about it.
Well, a lot of people do exercises, you know, for their body. Well, yeah. NeuroGym develops some cutting edge, leading ways to innercise your brain so that you have more resiliency, more focus, more confidence, more certainty, more self ability to deliver on the goals and dreams that you have for yourself.
When I first came across your work about 8 years ago, I kind of thought, like most people probably do at first, I don't know about this. It's the brain versus, I thought it was just taking action. I need the strategies. I need the tactics. And then I realized that that doesn't matter as much as programming your subconscious mind. Why is that?
Well, there's an enormous amount of research now that's showing us that there's a huge gap between what we choose and what we want to achieve consciously, we're making that choice, versus what our brain is doing beneath our level of awareness to prevent us from achieving those goals. So we know that, you know, the brain's got 100 billion neurons or cells. We know that there are different circuits that turn on and off. We know that there's stress circuits, motivational circuits, spiritual circuits, circuits that cause us to put the brakes on, circuits that cause us to put the gas on. But we haven't been given the user's manual for how to understand these circuits, but even to how to understand the machinery. But in the last 10, 15 years, the advancements of brain scan imaging technology, where we can actually see what's happening in the brain as stimuli is being introduced to the brain, whether it's an external stimuli moving in or even a thought that you might have. And we're able to see the different circuits that turn on or off and the different neurotransmitters and the different hormones that cause you to either be petrified of taking action, petrified of not doing what you need to do because there might be an unconscious fear of being embarrassed, ashamed, failing, succeeding. And if you don't understand how these circuits work, what causes you to move forward, what causes you to put the brake and stay comfortable, then chances are you're not going to progress as fast as you're capable of with this 3-pound amazing tool that we have. So it's only in the last 15 years that we're getting the user's manual. My company takes the best research in the world and creates technologies and methodologies combined together to accelerate people's ability to let go of the stuff that doesn't work so that it can focus on the stuff that does.
That's what I love about your stuff over so many other people out there in the industry is yours is research-based, backed by science.
Right.
And so many of the other things out there, they don't have the type of research that backs what you guys have. What led you to want to find neuroscience as like the new technology, the new platform for people to create change in their life?
Well, there's a couple of reasons, and you know, because we're on business rock stars today, the number one reason was because when I was building one of my companies, RE/MAX of Indiana, I had 1,500 salespeople, and we plateaued at about $1.2 billion. That's a nice place to plateau, but I knew that the potential was about $5 billion in sales a year. And I used to give my agents books. I used to bring in the best speakers in the world. I would give them cassette tapes back then. I would give them anything and everything to upgrade their knowledge and their skills, whether it was their mindset, emotional mastery, behavior that they needed to take. And a very small percentage would actually do what the blueprint said you need to do to
double trouble. They didn't even follow the recipe.
They wouldn't even follow the blueprint. And so I really got fascinated with why is it that we can have goals, we can have dreams, we can have aspirations, we can scream at the top of our lungs, oh my God, I'm so excited, I'm so motivated, I'm going to achieve this, I'm going to rule the world. And then the very next moment, because of something that is hidden within most people, we freeze. And we go and do something else. We go and grab a beer. We go and talk to a friend. We go and play on social media. We don't apply what we already know we should apply. I was fascinated with that. And that's what led me to the understanding of the different mechanics within the brain. So imagine if you had a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or a Rolls Royce, but nobody showed you how to turn on the car. Nobody showed you how to work the gas and the brake. Nobody showed you how to go into first gear or second or third or fourth or fifth. Well, that's what we're dealing with for the most part with our brain. We have the most powerful, sophisticated 3-pound tool in the world, no user's manual. So I started to study with some of the leading brain researchers and neuropsychologists in the world to understand what are they discovering about these different circuits, the motivational circuit where the gas goes on, but then all of a sudden the fear circuit goes on, the brake goes on. And how do you recognize this? But then how do you use, let's say, fear and turn it into fuel? Because the essence of fear is cortisol, epinephrine, adrenaline, norepinephrine, which is a phenomenal booster. But when it enters most people's bloodstream, it shuts them down because they don't know what this sensation is.
I love the analogy about the user's manual for the brain because we weren't given that. CEO of NeuroGym, John Assaroff's joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Take me to your story and your journey because I don't think a lot of people understand it. They see this successful guy today who has massive amounts of knowledge about how the brain works, and you provide people the user's manual.
Sure.
But I know that you have a story of adversity and kind of how you triumphed from being a kid who was going down the wrong path to being the person you are today. Tell us about that.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it goes back. I'm 55 today. I feel like I'm in my early 40s, almost as young as you, right? When I moved from Israel to Montreal, I spoke Hebrew. I didn't write Hebrew or read it, but I spoke it as a 5-year-old boy. And I was just starting kindergarten in Israel when I moved, my family moved to Montreal, and I didn't know the English or French language there. And so for 2 years, I was in a classroom with 50 to 60 other kids, and the teachers couldn't catch me up to the other kids where they were, when they spoke English, spoke French, wrote, and read, both of them. And so I was 2 years behind in school, and that caused me to just feel insecure. Kids laughed at me, they joked at me, they made fun of my accent, they made fun that I couldn't speak the English language. I remember getting into a fight with a kid because he spit on me because I couldn't communicate with him. So I felt insecure. I felt like I wasn't smart enough, wasn't good enough, wasn't worthy. And that led me to hang out with a group of misfits. And a few of those misfits started to get into trouble. So around the age of 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, like a long time, I hung out with this group of misfits that went from grade 6 all the way through to about grade 11. We lied, we stole, we cheated, we did break-in entries, we imported and sold drugs. I mean, we did stuff that I'm not proud of today, but we did stuff to fit in. We did stuff to have some money in our pockets. We did stuff to have this bravado about us that we were good enough and smart enough. And I came from a really good family. So on one hand, I had a loving mother, loving father, loving sister, loving brother, but I was doing all this stuff that just wasn't right. And I didn't know better at the time from the perspective of how I could feel better about myself.
Yeah.
And when I was 19, enough was enough, because I was getting very, very close to being locked up for a while. And I went to visit my brother. He introduced me to a client of his. My brother's a tennis pro. And he introduced me to a client of his who's a very successful businessman, philanthropist, making millions of dollars. But more than that, he really cared about people. And he had a real estate company. And May 5th, 1980, the day after I met him, he enrolled me in real estate school. I was 19. On June 20th, 1980, I had got my real estate license. Now, the reason I know those dates so well, it was a 5-week, 9-to-5 class. I passed the test on my own, and I cheated to get out of high school on my final exam. So it was really significant because I actually found something that I thought maybe was my freedom pack, and I did the work, and I actually liked it. And so where I hated school and didn't do well, not because I wasn't smart, I thought I wasn't smart because I wasn't doing well, but I was just in an environment that just didn't foster my creativity, my knowledge that I wanted to acquire. And so I had this block from school, so I said, I hate school. And as soon as I got into this environment where I learned something that I wanted to, and then I had a mentor who guided me, loved me, taught me, showed me, cared for me, and helped me work on retraining my own brain. First year, I made $35,000. My father was making $25,000 as a cab driver. My parents still thought I was doing illegal stuff. That's how they're like, come on, why are you dressing so nice? Where's the money in your pocket from?
Yeah.
And then the second year, by retraining my brain and building my beliefs and my habits and my perceptions and learning how to control my mindset and my behavior, I made $151,000. So the path that you're on is very, very similar to mine, where you're learning all of the ways to think. And that was really the beginning. And so my break came from being sick and tired of being sick and tired and knowing that I felt I had potential and I was standing on the edge of my potential, but I just didn't know how to get over that chasm because my insecurities were so deep.
And now you help everybody do that in their own lives, break through their financial glass ceiling, help them overcome their seasons of adversity. You have a business that's all about that. So somebody says, I love this John Ashraf guy. Either I've heard him before, or this is my first time hearing about him. I love this neuroscience stuff. Yeah. Where can they learn more about you?
One of the best things they could do is we have an event, you know, that happens on Saturday, and it's called Brainathon, and we bring in some of the world's leading brain experts and psychology experts to help people just understand the right way versus the wrong way to set goals, how to master their mindset, how to master their emotions. And they can just go to yourbrainathon.com.
Well, I've watched the last 3 Brainathons over the last 3 years. Yeah. And I not only love the Brainathon, but I actually use the programs that the Brainathon talks about. Phenomenal stuff, guys. Go to, say the websites again.
Yourbrainathon.com.
There it is, John.
And also they can go to myneurogym.com. So
there you go, guys. You heard it from the man himself. Thanks for coming on the show, John.
Great being here.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute.
What do the best bosses do every day? I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Your company is only as good as the culture, and that starts with the boss. Here are some things the best bosses do every day to provide a happy workplace and make them wildly successful. 1, they don't micromanage. Be an amazing boss by taking comfort in the fact you hired the right employees with the right talents and qualifications. 2, they reinforce good work. It's a simple concept. If you boost morale, you boost productivity right there in the workplace. 3, they listen. Here's a trick. Say, tell me more, to show you're actually listening or when giving feedback. Cultivating respect in the workplace doesn't happen all at once. It's about a series of daily habits that mesh creativity and leadership. It also instills trust in them as well. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day, watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, WOW, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Chuck Woolery here for Blue Emu. How many pain relief ads do you hear daily? 5, 10, 15? And of course, all of them claim their new ingredient or their new formula will help. Blue Emu has maintained the same quality year after year and continues to be the number one branded Emu oil product. So don't trust hype. Trust Blue Emu to support healthy muscles and joints. Choose Blue Emu pain relief products. They work fast and you won't stink.
Available at retailers nationwide.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Looking for a smartphone upgrade? Introducing the LG G8 ThinQ. So what is ThinQ? Spelled T-H-I-N-Q. We asked Ash Mollet from LG.
We've really delivered what I'll call a refined, minimalist design. We have enhanced front and rear facing cameras. We always have the incredible audio experience that LG has been known for.
And this smartphone comes with LG's artificial intelligence platform called, you guessed it, ThinQ.
It's LG's overarching platform that connects our home appliance, home entertainment, and mobile businesses with an AI platform that, you know, is going to make everyday usage of all of those types of appliances, TVs, and phones a really seamless process.
Go to your local carrier for rates and find out more on LG's G8 ThinQ.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
How can you operate your business more efficiently? Joining us to answer that is our guest, Dilari Amin. She's the co-founder and president of Phenomenon. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. So how can we do it? What's the keys?
I think you really have to pay attention to your business model. So many times when entrepreneurs are starting their business, we get hung up on the top line, and that's important. Mm-hmm. That's what grows the business. That's what gets attention from the VCs and the investors.
What do we mean by top line?
Top line is your revenue, you know, okay. Your sales, whatever is, you know, sales from customers, you know, subscriptions, products, whatever is being sold, that's your top line. Okay. That's your revenue in. And oftentimes, entrepreneurs are not focused enough on the bottom line. What's the profit? What's the net revenue? What's the EBITDA of your business? A lot of times, I talk to entrepreneurs who have focused 5, 6, 10 years on top line growth, and their numbers look really strong. First year, $1 million.
But then you look at EBITDA and then the bottom line,
and it's terrible. Yeah. And I think and this is especially true for not the guys who are taking VC money, perhaps, or investor money, but especially the homegrown entrepreneur who are trying to bootstrap mm-hmm. their business because they think top line is the most important, and it is. But at some point, every entrepreneur is going to want to sell their business or want to exit strategy, unless you want to, you know, sail with it into the horizon. You want to be able to take cash off the table, take some chips off the table, de-risk yourself. In that scenario, even if you want to bring in a strategic investor, how are you going, you know, they're going to look at your business through bottom line, EBITDA. And that's really important. Focus on that, because early on, I would say my first tip is talk to someone who's an M&A expert. Find out from them what the multiples in your industry are. Yeah. So for beauty products, it might be, you know, 10x of EBITDA. For a agency that's doing reasonably well, it might be 5 to 9x of EBITDA. It's different for every industry, and sometimes it's not on EBITDA, it's on revenue.
Yeah.
And that's more of the tech model that we've seen recently. But, you know, knowing that, it gives you a sense. So $1 saved today is going to convert into $9, you know, when you sell the company. And I think that puts a lot into perspective in terms of managing your overhead, managing your expenditure. Yeah. And that's, that sounds simpler than it is, but you know, you could
parse. It sounds very simple. So what are some tactful things that we can either do from hiring people, maybe hire some good CPAs or other people to come in and look? You were saying M&A experts. What about putting systems in place? What are some things that we can do tactfully outside of just, you know, articulating? I think it's brilliant because it's a mistake that I see a lot of entrepreneurs make, looking on the top line versus the bottom line and the reason why. But again, what are some tactful things that we can actually put in place and take action from this?
Right, sure. If you're an early stage entrepreneur, you may not have a full-term revenue cycle in place. You haven't been in business for 3 to 4 years to actually see the different seasonalities or the kinks in your revenue cycle. But I would say develop a couple of models, and they could be easy models. So, you know, do a quarterly analysis on your sales and then measure it quarter over quarter or month over month. And that's going to, after the first full year of your business, you'll see if you had a seasonality in your business. And typically for me, my second quarter is the strongest. And I know that having measured that KPI over, you know, 3 to 5 years. So those are the types of things that you want to start doing. Then you want to measure, okay, what's your percentage of, what's your cost percentage of labor cost vis-a-vis your revenue. So if labor is the biggest, then you want to have some perhaps more creative ways of paying people. Maybe you bonus them out, or maybe you, you know, reduce your overhead. You have a variable payroll. Maybe you hire up when you need to. Otherwise, your normal standard payroll is minimal. So that's a way of looking at things. You also want to look at your SG&A and your operating expenses. So if you could do a revenue share with an, or sorry, a cost share with a couple other companies, you could do some trade agreements. So you want to keep that number down as well. Once you start to look at your P&L and say, okay, for every, you know, $100 I earn, you know, $60 is my labor cost and $20 is my SG&A and, you know, $5 is my take home or, you know, after taxes, just having that simplified, you can scale that into the tens of millions. I mean, it's not going to be a perfect scale, but that gives you a really good metric in terms of how to keep your focus on the bottom line.
Well, you are on top of your stuff. I see why you get paid the big bucks. Co-founder of Phenomenon, Devarya Min, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstar. So those are some tactful things. I think they're awesome. What do you think the beginning entrepreneur needs to know? Are these things that relate to them, or are these things more after you've been in business for 3 or 4 or 5 years, as you were talking about?
I think beginning entrepreneurs need to know, you know, be disciplined right from day one.
Always know your numbers.
Always know your numbers.
But do some of these things you were just talking about relate to that first year, second year entrepreneur?
I think you can set up the systems. You can. Okay. I think one of the things that I didn't do and I learned from is I should have set up a 3-year projections my first year of business and saying, okay, year one, we're going to do this, year two, year three. It keeps you focused on a goal, and that's good to have.
But is it okay to shift? Because nowadays with the exponential rate of change, things are going to be happening so much that it's, you got to have that 2, 3, 4, 5 year goal or vision, but it is okay to adjust, you're saying.
Absolutely. And it's never going to be true. If you, you know, either
you're going to shift.
Yeah, exactly. But at least it gives you a benchmark. It gives you a direction because so many entrepreneurs are kind of directionless in the beginning. Yeah. They, you know, just running from client to client. It also, if you have that 3-year projection, it's going to keep you disciplined on who you want to take on as a customer or a client and who you don't. And how many products you want to sell at what unit price. I mean, it will start to unlock itself when you put the model in front of you.
Okay, so you just got to get the reps in to really start to see this. But I love these things are tactful things that you can do in the beginning.
Yeah.
That's why they bring in experts like you. Devarya Min, co-founder and president of Phenomenon. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you
so much. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.